Welcome to Friends at Film Camp, the podcast for two friends, yeah, by the fire, from our fun film perspectives. I'm Jenny.
And I'm Luke.
Today, we are talking about Carmilla, a Canadian web series, which, as a sapphic lady, if any of you are listening, might sound very familiar. If you're not a sapphic lady, I don't know if you've ever heard of it before.
Carmilla was created by Jordan Hall, Steph Outwick, and Jay Bennett. Was developed by Jordan Hall and Ellen Simpson. And written by Jordan Hall, and I think the pilot was written by Ellen Simpson. And stars Elise Berman and
Bowman
and Natasha Nagelvassil. That's a very interesting name.
That's not how you say it.
How do you say
it? Show it to me. Oh. Nagelvassil.
See, I always agree to say the names. I never agreed to say them right.
I follow most of these people on Instagram.
I do not.
Yeah.
This was Jinian's idea. She felt very passionate that while we're waiting for the actor's strike to end, we needed to do the show.
Well, it's perfect because it's Canadian. It's and a web series.
I relented. Eventually.
A little bit. You didn't finish the first season, which is what my goal was.
The first season is so long.
It's 2.5 hours. That's true.
That's so long.
It is a long.
And there's only one camera angle.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. You don't like the one camera angle? It's a shtick.
Jillian, I was raised pre-iPad generation.
Okay.
I need movement and lights and flash.
What does that have to do with the iPad generation?
It's one camera angle. It got boring.
Okay. Well, I don't think it gets boring. I think it adds to... Okay, here's
Hold
the thing.
Hold on. No, I need to say something before we go forward. Okay. And this is very important.
Okay.
I have two parts of my brain right now.
Okay.
I have my emotional and logical. Mm-hmm. And logical part of my brain understands that this is a well-written online series that has a good audience appeal, mm-hmm, and does what it does well.
Mm-hmm.
It is good at what it does.
Mm.
But emotional side, it doesn't like what it does.
That's so interesting because I'm kind of arguing the opposite. I don't think this is an objectively good show.
I disagree.
This is so interesting. I did not expect this from you. I think this is not a very good show, but I think it is so earnest and charming, especially in the first season, and that the characters have good chemistry. And so, normally, my history with this show is this first season came out in 2014, which is very evident in its sort of 2014 Tumblr-isms.
The show is very Tumblr.
Yeah, and it was huge on Tumblr.
And you love Tumblr. You still use Tumblr.
I do, and I was very active on Tumblr at this time, and I did not watch this show until, 2016. So, the third season was airing by the time I watched this. So, I had seen people who I followed obsessing over it for years, and I finally gave in and watched it. I tried to watch it at one point, and I was like, ugh. I don't think the first episode does a good job of getting you, to be honest. But once you get a few in and the plot kind of kicks in, it does have a intrigue and bingeability to it, especially since the single episodes are so short, that it gets really, really easy to start, you just want to keep rolling into the next episode to find out what happens. I find that gets...
This show would have been made, if it was made right now,
uh-huh,
I feel like this show would be made for TikTok.
Yeah.
This would be a TikTok series.
Or Snapchat.
Ugh. I'm not that bad. I don't do Snapchat series.
I don't either. I just know that's your thing.
I don't understand that. To me, that's not what Snapchat is.
I had a big Snapchat phase, actually. Where I watched Snapchat shows. It was before I downloaded TikTok. That's what it was.
Yeah, that's just TikToks. That's what it is.
No, it's not.
It's not?
No.
I don't understand.
It's like TV, but cut up into small segments.
So it's like those TikToks of TV shows.
Yeah, it's like the TikToks of TV shows.
Oh, that's weird.
It is weird. Anyway.
It's like Quibi.
Sure, I don't know anything about Quibi.
Yes, you do.
Besides the Amanda stuff.
Yeah, it's short episodes.
I find the bingeability and the sort of edible nature of the story gets way more convoluted and sort of less bingeable in the following seasons. I think that the first season is the best season. The movie's also not bad.
I've read reviews about the movie. Mm-hmm. And everyone agreed this is good for what it is as a movie, only in terms of if you like the show, you will like the movie. Yeah. The movie is just like more show.
Not even.
Like, it's not really just like the show, but the longer. It's mm-hmm. like more of the same energy of the show and more of the story of the show. You cannot follow it unless you know the show.
That's not true.
That is what all the reviewers said.
Well, I don't think that's true. Well. From what I remember of the movie, which I have seen, it's like a basically a standalone story because it's them all going to this house. And then they get stuck in, like, a haunted house, and they're in, like, a past scenario where, like, they get sent back to the past, and it's, like, a contained story in that
that's
manner.
That's not what it is. That's, like, maybe the middle part.
You mean that's not what it is?
The whole setup is, like, plot from the first three seasons.
I don't think it is.
That's what every review said, is, like, you don't know a thing unless you know the show. And I read the synopsis, and, yeah, you don't know a thing. They talk about a lot of stuff.
Oh, you know what? I'm remembering this. Yeah, that's fair. But, you know,
that's fine. That's what it is. That's what this is made for.
I remember when the movie, because they made the movie specifically for the fans, right? And they had a big fan base. And when the movie came out, like, I remember when the movie came out and people who I followed were buying the, like premium pre-order pre-sale packages where you got like 2 hours of behind the scenes and like all of these things for like $200, like,
which for you is like unheard of.
Yeah, like these things were selling out. Like people were obsessed with this show. Yeah. And I think they played into that really, really well. And the chemistry of the main actresses is really good, which especially at the time when this started in 2014, I mean, there's still not a huge amount of lesbian representation, but, like, having a sapphic relationship with good chemistry was, like, also sort of hard to find.
Also, this lead girl, she just does lesbian stuff.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know if it's exclusive, but she does a lot of it.
Yeah.
Do you remember that Hallmark or Lifetime movie that was, like, the Christmas movie, and the only thing was it was gay and had Fran Drescher?
Yeah.
She basically did the lesbian version of that movie. Because mm-hmm. it was her, a lesbian. Like, her and her lesbian lover. Mm-hmm. And it starred the girl who was originally... Ricky Lake.
I don't know who Ricky Lake is.
Ricky Lake is a very big star from the 90s. Who was the original Tracy Turnblad.
You, Elise, so, okay, and then also, Natasha, she won a Canadian Screen Award.
Cool.
For the movie, I think, but I'm not 100% sure. But she won a Canadian Screen Award, and she actually posted this really, really interesting thing on Instagram, because, I followed her on Instagram sort of since I was into the show, and she's been sort of struggling since the pandemic. She's not really getting a lot of acting work. She had to like go back to waitressing and stuff.
And she won a fan choice award, yeah.
Yeah. And on the like anniversary of her winning the award, she kind of like had this like really, really interesting retrospective where she was talking about like the difficulty of having like this really huge success with Carmilla and like winning Canadian Screen Award and like going all these places, and they did the movie right after the series ended and blah blah blah, and then sort of it all just like stopped really quickly. Which is interesting because she's like very, very pretty, and I think she's has an interesting like vibe and style to her, but I thought it was a really open and honest like reflection. Like I feel like you don't see that from actors a lot when someone's had a big success and then it kind of goes away. And I think that's something that's so real in like life.
Yeah.
So I think about that post a lot, to be honest, because it just like really respected the like rawness and the honesty in her like reflection and like how that was kind of like hard to deal with, but she was being really open about it, which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah. It's neat.
But anyway, back to the show. So my experience with this season especially is it's a little rough to get into it. Once the plot kicks in, I get kind of like pulled into the story. I get charmed by the earnestness of everything, even the sort of, it has a bit of school project vibes. Like there's obviously a lower budget and these things all just like charm me, right? And I like the chemistry not just of Elise and Natasha, but like of all the different people. And Danny, the other love interest, I also think has really good chemistry.
A lot of lesbians.
Yeah. So this all pulls me in. And then I get pretty into it for the first season. What was your experience? Because you were pretty rough as it started.
It was so boring. The first episode was bad. Mm. That was a terrible setup for the series.
It's not a great first episode.
It's a bad setup.
Yeah.
It doesn't set it up. Also, you should have had...
Well, it does set it up because her roommate was missing.
Okay, it objectively sets it up. It does it poorly.
Yes, okay.
And then... basically, until we realize Carmela's a vampire, it's very dull. Nothing's happening. And it's just kind of moody 20-somethings being like, "Wah, I have a roommate I don't like. Wah."
Okay.
And that's basically what I felt.
But
and it... it's fine. It's just that's all the show's doing is being like, I have a roommate I don't like, and I don't. Other roommates like, and I don't like you. And they're like, oh.
That's not all it's doing.
We're the odd couple. One of us is messy. One of us is clean.
That is what it's doing a lot, but that's not all it's doing because she's investigating the missing girls and stuff.
But she doesn't really start doing that till Carmilla's well into the show.
No, that's not true. She's doing that from the first episode.
I disagree. She says she is. She's not actually doing anything. She's just like, ooh.
Okay.
She's like, oh, I'm looking into it. And I'm like, okay. And she's like, I'm still looking.
Well, also, I wonder, do you know the backstory of the story of Carmilla?
No.
Okay, Carmilla is one of the first vampire stories ever. We're talking back in the day. I think it's pre-Dracula, but don't quote me on that.
Like 2012.
And it is... like a lesbian vampire story, like from the beginning, from the first iteration of it. So in terms of like when they say, oh, we're making a Carmilla web series, everyone knows Carmilla's a vampire and a lesbian, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. So does that change your perspective in terms of like it's assumed that the audience knows from the beginning that Carmilla is a vampire?
No.
Okay.
It is older than Dracula.
Yeah.
By about one Jinian. The first episodes were boring. The blood in the soy milk was kind of cool.
Uh-huh.
That was probably the best part of those early parts. Once the third romance starts with Redhead, who's tall.
What do you mean the third romance?
The third girl.
Yeah, Danny.
Sure. When Danny... enters, it gets better. And objectively from that point on, I'm like, this is pretty well moving and well made, well written, all that. The early part's very slow, but once it starts moving, it's well written and well acted. That lead girl, what's her name?
Elise Bowman.
Yeah, her. Elise Bowman. She's good at monologuing. Mm. She's asked to monologue a lot.
Yeah.
And she does it well, so good for her.
So, in the finale of the show, at the end of season 3, famously, they break the webcam structure.
For the third season?
Yeah, at the end of it.
Huh?
Which I hate.
Wait, is it like at the end of a...
it's like a big climactic fight situation.
Is it like at the end of a Kevin Can Fuck Himself? Where it's like... they do the thing differently, and you're like, whoa.
No.
Ow.
Someone just takes the camera.
They just move the camera around?
Yeah.
Oh.
So you see, because something I love about this show, which I'm getting the idea you don't love, but I love it, is I love people, I love very intense, pivotal action scenes and moments happening off screen, and then people coming and telling us what happened.
That's What?
I love it. I think it's so cute. And I think it's such a smart way to tell a really complex story like this.
Oh my gosh. Oh my god. You're in media studies. Oh my god.
Calm down.
Start.
It works for something like this.
The first rule of film is show, don't tell.
Yeah, and rules are always...
You guys are like, my favorite thing in the world is when they tell me things instead of
rules are always made to be broken.
Oh my gosh.
And for this setup, they made it so they could make this story in a way that they could make it. And that means that they have people come tell us. And I think that there's something charming and silly about it. It makes me giddy. I like it. And so I hated them taking us into the final thing.
I'm in shock.
Well, okay, come on. You have to, okay, I'm not just in media studies. I'm in experimental film. Is that not experimental?
No.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not experimental to be like, let's make this thing worse. Here's the thing, Carmela.
Sure it is. That's experimental.
Okay. Carmela could have done... I think Carmela should have done their final action scene, which I've never seen. They should have just left it... They should have done it in the room.
Well, we're in a different room by the third season. You don't even know what happens, okay?
We're in... Should have done it in the third room.
Okay. But that doesn't even make sense. You don't even know the type of shit that goes down, Luke. This gets post-apocalyptic.
I'm just saying. They did such a good job setting up the camera thing for what they wanted.
Uh-huh.
Even if I don't like it, they do it good.
Mm-hmm.
They know what their format is. They like it.
Mm-hmm.
I think they do it well. I just don't like it.
Part of the format is them coming back from intense things and telling us about what happened. Because it's like a web series.
Yeah, I don't even disagree with you on that part. I just think that they could have done the final action scene on camera in the room.
Yeah. Well...
Then they would have met... They would have both done the action thing. And...
They couldn't because of how the plot was... It was in a pit. It's a whole thing.
Well, they should have made it. They should have made a way to do it.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't like them breaking it because they had kept it for the entire series.
But I'm fine with it. I don't care.
Well, I know you don't care. You didn't watch the entire thing.
Exactly. That's why I don't care. But I'll agree with you that they shouldn't have done it that way. The way they did it was wrong. Not that I've ever seen.
The show also does a thing in the next seasons, which is a pet peeve of mine with Carmilla, because Carmilla is a vampire, as we know. Carmilla also becomes Laura's love interest, right? And there's drama with that, as you would assume. Now, they do this thing that so many vampire shows do, and also, like, any shows that are kind of mystical that has a character that's supposed to be bad, where the character will be bad and do, like, heinous things. And then they'll feel bad about it, and they'll be good again. And we just pretend that they didn't do those things, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, Carmilla goes back and forth from being, like... So there's this thing where she can turn into a cat and stuff. Anyway, like a jaguar. So she'll go back and forth where she's, like, good Carmilla, and she's not eating people, and blah, blah, blah. And then she gets pissed off, and then she, like, is just eating people for a while. And, like, just going on a murder rampage. And then she feels bad, and then she comes back, and we forgive her. And it's, like, I get so frustrated in shows that do this. Vampire Diaries also does that horribly. Ugh, don't even get me started on Vampire Diaries. Once Upon a Time does that. So many of these shows do it, and it's really frustrating to me. I don't think you should make... I understand in a way that, like, vampires killing people has sort of a different morality than humans, because it's, like, kind of part of the thing, if that makes sense. But I still don't like it. What are you reading?
I'm reading the plot summary of the book, Carmilla. Yeah, lesbian vampire. It's cool.
Well, what do you think about my whole speech just now?
Your whole speech was about turning the bad character into redeemable?
No.
Then I misheard it.
It's when they go back and forth, where they're like... Oh, okay, this person's a vampire, but they're a good vampire because they don't kill people and blah, blah, blah. And then your main person falls in love with them and whatever. And then they get into a fight and they are like, I'm going to go kill so many people. And they go on a murder rampage. And then they're like, oh, I feel bad about it now. And they go back to not killing people, and then they're with the main person again.
That's what I just said.
But it's like, you just killed a bunch of people.
Yeah.
That's not redeeming, though.
Yeah, I know. But, like, you forgave me after my murders. That was a joke for legal purposes.
That was a funny joke. But do you get what I'm saying? It's annoying. You can't just do that.
You can't just forgive murder.
You can't just do that with, like, redemption is sick. Redemption's a really cool storyline. You can't just, like, cheese it. And it's really annoying when shows try to do that. Because it's like, they're wasting it. And they're being lazy.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's for some reason, some writers are like, murder's not a big deal.
Yeah.
They should have been like, she robbed a blood bank.
Yeah.
Or she, like, killed a cow.
But no, she'll literally just, like, for a few episodes be, like, a villain. Like a straight-up villain, like, scary cat lady killing people. And then she'll come back and be like, never mind. And everyone's like, oh, Carmela.
Or go into, like, the Loki direction, where they're, like, evil, but they find a storyline in the evil to make them good. But they're still objectively evil. But the only way Loki can do that is because they make the stakes bigger than Loki.
Yeah.
Like, the whole world, or all of time, is gonna end. So, Loki killing a few people every now and then is like, okay, Loki, that's fine, because the whole world's at stake. Like, all of time is at stake.
Yeah.
So, it's scale. When it's small scale, murder is bad. When it's big scale, you can get away with more murder.
A good redemption is, like, so good. You know? Buffy does a really good redemption with Spike. Until, like, the fifth season, in which there's some silliness in the sixth. Silliness is too light of a word for it, but anyone who knows what I'm talking about. But, like, a good redemption is a great storyline, but it takes, like, work and time, you know?
Yeah. Redemption is hard. Carmilla murdering is bad.
Uh-huh.
Thought complete. Now, I like Carmilla as a character once she gets moving.
Mm-hmm.
She just stays in Tumblr girl era a little too long. Mm. But when she's out of it, she's kind of fun. Although if she does murder a bunch of people, it does make her less fun. Because mm-hmm. murder's just not as fun.
Well, that's just later.
Yeah. But...
did you have a favorite character?
Lead girl.
Fair.
She's good at what she's the best one at monologuing. She's the best actress.
I thought they actually did some good, like, comedy with the frat guy.
Yes, he was also funny.
He becomes a very charming character later. He was reminding me, actually, of Chris Pratt. No.
Pine?
No.
Evans?
No. Australian.
Hemsworth.
In...
wait, we can't talk about that.
Oh, whoops.
You have to edit that out, Tinian.
I will.
This is
but
he reminds us of Chris Hemsworth as a comedian.
But he has, like, that the himbo energy, and I think, but he also, as the series goes on, him and Danny create, like, a friendship, which is also really cute to my memory. And I think it's really, like, the thing of the frat bros wanting to protect hotties. That was actually really funny.
That is
funny. And, like, I don't know, a good way to do the comedy where it's, like, still, it's, like, almost heroic, but it has that element of, like, they only care about hotties. I don't know. It's just good.
I would agree. The frats were well-written. A lot of well-written jokes.
Yeah.
Setups. Good punchlines. I would get these writers on a sitcom next. Like.
Do you know if they've done anything since?
The writers?
Yeah.
No. The main... I did look into this. The one girl... only one person who's, like, really creatively involved with the show has a Wikipedia of any nature. And she's really done... She wrote a play after this called Kayak.
Okay, interesting.
And she also wrote How to Survive the Apocalypse. But, no one seems to have really done much or gotten much after the show. It's, I would get these writers on a sitcom. I don't know if they'd want to do it, mm-hmm. but I feel like this writing and this humor would work great. Like, reality TV sitcom style.
Yeah.
It really does work well, especially because they're good at writing monologues. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of monologue.
Well, I also wonder, because, I don't know, I was thinking, like, maybe something else for YouTube, because that's where, like, this was really big, but maybe that's not the right thing. But I also wonder if part of, so, at this time in 2014, there were a lot of web series that were happening. There was the Lizzie Bennet Diaries, which Hank Green was involved with somehow. That's how I found out about it. I watched that. There was one about Dr. Frankenstein. There was quite a few web series happening. And it was also huge for lesbian YouTube. Lesbian YouTube was really popping at this time. There was a lot of different people who were, like, big and collabing and doing stuff. So I think, I wonder if it was a bit like lightning in a bottle situation where it was like there was all of these different elements coming together that let it be so popular at the time.
I would definitely not try YouTube as her next thing. I don't think YouTube can do this type of show right now.
Yeah, it's not like, it's not really the current atmosphere at all.
YouTube is longer or less production.
That's like another thing that I think was a really good decision for the show, was having such short episodes, which I think can be difficult in terms of when you're writing and you have so many ideas, but having it be these like poppy episodes I think really helps with this story and this format for the story.
Honestly, this whole thing felt like a Lonely Girl 15.
I did not experience that in real time. Did you?
No, but that was very early YouTube.
Yeah,
Lonely Girl 15 was the fifth most subscribed channel. And what I mean by that is she was the most subscribed YouTube channel, but she's the fifth one ever. Mm. Ironically, or interestingly, Smosh was the first one.
That's first one ever?
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
That's just, I wouldn't have thought that.
Wait, what does that even mean?
When they started, like, properly tracking subscribers.
Okay, because I was going to say, the first guy who posted the video had to be the first one.
Her subscribers might have not even existed for a bit.
That's actually true. That's true.
Smosh was the first one, and then it went to Judson LePay, who did Evolution of Dance. Brookers, some other thing, and then it was Lonely Girl, who had it for about a year before it went back to Smosh.
I mean, that was a great idea. I think...
But this felt like Lonely Girl Lonely Girl accepted, admitted from the... It didn't try to trick us.
It's a YouTube version of a mockumentary.
Yeah.
I also think video diaries aren't the same as they used to be. You know what actually could be a really interesting thing? And I'm sure somebody's done this, but the sort of modern equivalent would be streaming.
Mm-hmm.
So something with, like, live streaming. But I'm sure somebody's done an ARG stream before.
Probably.
I think ARGs are so cool.
Overall, Camila's good at what it does. I'm glad you had a show that you were able to enjoy. Especially because it seems really hard for productions to get good lesbian shows, right?
Yeah.
So I'm glad you had one.
Yeah. This show's just very nostalgic for me. I still enjoy it for what it is, even though I still don't know if I'd call it good.
And that concludes today's episode of Friends at Film Camp. Thank you all so much for listening. We'll catch you next time at the campfire.